series today on we've been looking at dealing with grief. And we want to conclude that series today by preaching a message to you called Out of the Darkness. How many of you know that we all go through dark times in our lives, but I'm glad to know we're not there to stay. Amen. God wants to bring us out. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Samuel 22. Verse 29, 2 Samuel 22, verse 29. This is part of a psalm that David sang after the Lord had given him victory from Saul and from all his enemies. I love what 2 Samuel 22, 29 says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Listen to that again. "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Two simple points I want to share with you this morning as we conclude our series of looking at grief. Number one, God is the light of your life right now. Number two, God will make your days bright again. Will you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here today. God, we're still holding on to you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. And Lord God, I ask you to touch those that are grieving today. Touch those that are going through difficult trials. It might be the loss of a loved one, a financial need, or a physical malady that they're facing, God. Whatever it is that's bringing grief, I pray, oh God, that you would give them deliverance. And I ask you right now, God, to touch me with that anointing that makes preaching effective, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what your Spirit would say unto the church. And God, we'll be ever careful to give you the praise and glory and honor for all that's accomplished here today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Shake three hands before you're seated and tell them you're glad to see them in God's house. Hallelujah. Amen. Glad to have our visitors with us. Hallelujah. If you haven't filled out a visitor's card, please do so. Hallelujah. Just to quickly review our series on the subject of dealing with grief, we've learned that grief is emotional trauma that's brought about by the loss of a serious emotional connection. Grief is sorrow that is brought about by an emotional connection being broken. And we've all been there at one point or another. If you haven't been there, you will be there. Because we're living in a sin-cursed world. We've learned that grief is not because we've sinned. It's not because we are being punished by the Lord. But it's just because of the world that we live in. Death has passed unto all of us. And grief is part of that that we have to deal with. We've looked at the fact that all of our emotions are given to us by God. And God wants us to use them in the right way. But we've also learned that the devil can take our emotions and twist them for his purposes if we're not careful. And we've looked at how to deal with that. Today I want to give you hope, if I can, with where you may be in your life. Hallelujah. Beloved, I want you to realize that this life is not the end of the story. There is a life to come. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But what comes after judgment is what I'm looking for. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that judgment begins with the house of God. And if a righteous man shall scarcely be saved, what shall then be of the sinner? So one of the reasons we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture is because the tribulation is all about the judgment of God being poured out on this world. But while the world is being judged, those who are ready with their lamps trimmed and burning bright, we have a bright future to look forward to. We're going to be rejoicing with the Son of God around the throne of God, giving him praise and glory forevermore. Hallelujah. Can somebody give him praise? It's our job right now to get ready for heaven. It's our job to stay ready for heaven. And it's our job to help others get ready for heaven. Amen. You may know some folks that aren't here this morning. I want to encourage you to call them and let them know you missed them. You're thinking about them. I want to encourage you to pray for them and let them know, hey, you can make it And I want to do what I can to help you get there. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice what David said here in Psalm 22, verse 29. He did not start off patting himself on the back. He didn't say, I'm going to make it through this on my own. He didn't trust in his wealth. He didn't trust in his position. He didn't trust in his family, although David had a great big family. No, what did he put his trust in? To be the light of his present life. And notice what he says, for thou art my lamp, O Lord. Hallelujah. Is God what's lighting your life today? We're getting ready to start another football season, and a lot of people's hopes and dreams are going to be based on what their football team does. I'm glad to say I'm not one of those. I'm glad to say that while I get a good salary and while I love the people of church and I love my family, the source of joy in my life is not what I possess. It's not the salary that I get, but it's in an eternal source whose name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Go ahead and give him praise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, beloved, I want to tell you, there are temporal pleasures and they're okay to enjoy. It's okay to root for your football team. It's okay to root for your baseball team. It's okay, hallelujah, to have things in this world, but don't let them be the source of your joy or your contentment, because your joy will be short-lived if you do. What you need to do is put your source of joy in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus manifests himself through us in many ways. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So the number one way that Jesus reveals himself to us is through his word. Brother Johnny mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. You need to be in the word of God. If you want to know what Jesus says about something, read the word. He's not going to contradict the word. Jesus will never tell you anything that goes against the things that are written between Genesis and Revelation. He'll never contradict it. So if you ever come up on a preacher or a teacher or somebody calling themselves some official sounding title in the church and it contradicts the word of God on one point, run from them. You need to understand the word of God, and you need to know the word of God, because it is a light for your life in the dark days ahead. Hallelujah. David said at one place, my foot had almost slipped when I considered the ways of the wicked, and I considered how they were prospering, but then I considered their end. And I want to tell you something, the way David knew the end was through the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need to realize God still expects us to live right in 2019 and 2020 until Jesus comes. There's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and it's found in the pages of the word of God. God knows what you're going through this morning. He knows that your heart's been broken. He knows, hallelujah, if you're battling with temptation. He knows if you're in a dark place, and he wants to light your life. But the way he's going to do it is through his word. Amen. The devil tries to isolate us, to get us alone, like a lion trying to get that baby zebra away from the fold or the gazelle. He isolates them, and then he calls his other teammates in so they can kill that wounded sheep or that wounded gazelle. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Glory to God. I want you to ask yourself this morning. Go ahead and give him praise. Hallelujah. What's killing your joy? What's killing your peace? What's killing the things that you are going through? And then realize that you are fighting an enemy. We're going to start a series tonight, Lord willing, recognizing when you're at war. And we're going to look at the fact that we're still fighting the real devil. And he's wanting to steal, kill, and destroy, as I've already said. But we can have victory over him when we come together. Now, not only will the devil isolate you, not only will he get you to quit reading the Word of God, he will get you away from the body of Christ. Because the Bible says where two or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And how many of you realize that God is right here at Earl Church of God? Now, go ahead. Amen. Not because I'm anything special, not because you're anything special, but when we gather together in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God is right there with us. Hallelujah. And so if the devil can get you to quit coming to church, if he can get you to quit giving, then what the devil has just successfully done is isolate you. And he can pile on you guilt. He can pile on you depression. He can pile on you discouragement. But David said, "Thou art my lamp, O Lord." God, you're going to lighten this dark area of my life that I'm going through. Hallelujah. It might be a financial situation, hallelujah, that you're facing this morning. And every time you look, I don't know too many people that get excited when it comes to paying bills, hallelujah. We always think there's something better that we could do with the money, amen. But I want to tell you something. When you let God lighten your financial life and tell you how to handle your money, he'll make your financial life better too, hallelujah. I believe that we are to pay our tithes and we are to give offerings, not when we have the money to do it. Because if we go on the philosophy of I'm going to tithe, when I get the money, you'll never tithe. If you go on the philosophy, well, I'll give as soon as I get the money to give, you'll never give. But when you trust God, the Bible says, he who giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. And how many of you know God's got great interest rates? You can't outgive God. He will give back to you. When you pay your tithes and you give offering and you allow the church to do the work that God has called the church to do, God has promised that he will meet every need in your life according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So understand this morning, God wants to light your present darkness, what you're going through. God wants to help you through anger. God wants to help you through grief. God wants to help you. See, a lot of people paint you a picture. They say, if you get saved, you'll never have another problem. And that's the furthest from the truth. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the dark days of the church, if you want to put it that way. But, I love that, God delivereth him from them all. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to deliver you. Not only is God lighting your dark life, not only is he with you in your present crisis, I want you to realize this morning that the sun's going to shine again. The Bible says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. I want you to understand and realize that although the loss is great and the pain is real and everybody grieves in their own way and nobody ought to tell you you shouldn't be doing what you're doing to grieve, so long as you're not endangering your life or you're not endangering the life of others, beloved, I want you to understand you need to express your grief. You need to work through your grief, but you don't have to do it by yourself. There are those that are ready to help you. There are those that are ready to walk through you, whatever it might be. Let me remind you of some people that lost in the Bible and the fact that God helped them through theirs. Job lost 7 sons and 3 daughters in one day. Not only did he lose 7 sons and 3 daughters, he also lost all of his property. He also lost all of his possessions, his workers, and even his wife said, "Why maintainest thou thy integrity? Curse God and die." And on top of that, I want to show you how some people like to comfort you. If you're not careful, Job had 3 friends that heard of his calamity, and they came to him and they said, "Well, Job, you must have done something wrong." If I can put it in the Ron Lee translation, "You messed up somewhere, Job. You had sin in your life." If you've heard that and you're going through grief, let me go ahead and tell you, that's a bunch of hogwash. If the devil's whispering that in your ear, don't you let the devil blame you that it's your fault that you're going through grief this morning. I want you to realize that we live in a sin-cursed world, and things are what they are, and sometimes all we can do is just walk it day by day, moment by moment, and step by step, but we're not walking it alone. Our state overseer posted a little cartoon on Facebook yesterday, and I loved it. It was showing Jesus. We're all familiar with the footprints in the sands poem. And Jesus was showing the man the in those times when there was one set of footprints, those were the times where I carried you. And we thank God for the times that he carried us. And he said, that long trough in the sand was the place where I drug you kicking and screaming. Sometimes we don't want to go where God wants us to take us. But if we're faithful and we hold on, as they sang about it today, it'll be worth it after all. You keep holding on to Jesus. Don't you let the devil tell you that what you're doing for God is in vain. Don't you let the devil tell you that the sun will never shine again. Don't you let the devil tell you that there's no hope. Hallelujah. That's what he would like to have you believe. But I want to remind you of the promises of God, that we're not living in a world where we will have our eternal blessings here. Every blessing that God gives us here on planet Earth is temporary. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And we haven't got there yet. But beloved, I believe it won't be long before the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise. And then those of us which are alive and remain caught up to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is our comfort. That is our hope. Don't let this temporary world fool you into giving up, fool you into quitting, fool you into losing sight of the prize. Let God light your path. Somebody give him praise and glory. Michaela, pull up for me Matthew 5:14. I told you that Jesus wants to come to you and he wants to light your life. Matthew 5:14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you're going through grief this morning, one thing I want to encourage you and challenge you to do is examine your actions. What are you doing to remove that grief from you? Are you surrounding yourself with godly people, or are you isolating yourself? One reason why we worry whenever our children start wearing black and they start listening to acid rock and other things like that is because we know it's dark music. We know the message behind it is dark. Whenever they listen to different types of rap music or even different types of worldly music, I could throw different things in there. The music that we listen to can affect our emotions. The TV that we watch can affect us emotionally. Hallelujah. And as children of God, we need to make it a point to let God light our life by choosing right, light-filled actions. Don't isolate yourself. Surround yourself with children of God. Go to church. We got this trip to Carowinds going on. It's an opportunity to try to shine light into these children's lives. We've got youth camps going on. We got different things that we're going to be doing in the fall. It's all designed to pour light onto you. Why? Because we're living in a dark world. Look with me at Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Hallelujah. Some people say a lot of times, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I don't think there is such a thing. I think we need to be more focused on heaven than we are on the world. Amen. And we need to learn to love on one another. And we need to learn to focus our attention on Jesus Christ, because he is the light of life. John 8:22 tells us this. John 8:22. As she's pulling that up, I want you to realize something this morning. You need to understand that God will take care of you. The word of God tells us that, I know the thoughts that I have for you, saith the Lord, thoughts to make of you a certain end. In John 8:12, the word of God tells us something powerful. Hallelujah. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want you to understand that this morning. Beloved, you might be going through a place of grief in your life, or you might be facing a place of grief ahead. Even though it might seem like the rug's been pulled out from under your feet, even though it might seem like, hallelujah, everything is hopeless, you still have a light shining in you. But not only is your light shining, the day's going to get bright again. Notice what David said again in 2 Samuel 22:29. 2 Samuel 22:29. And the Lord will lighten my darkness. Can you make that confession with me this morning? Can you just raise your hand and say, the Lord will lighten my darkness. Say it again. The Lord will lighten my darkness. Hallelujah. Can you give him praise for that? Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, God's going to turn it to light. The Bible says that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are the called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. And you might say, how can my loss work together for my good? Beloved, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people who quit on God and who quit on their spouses and who quit on their churches because they went through something similar to what you're going through and you're holding on. You are being light in a dark world. You are being a source of comfort to others because they can look at you and they can say, you know what, if they can make it through that, I can make it. You are being a source of encouragement and strength even in your crisis, because I guarantee you there are people outside of this church that see you holding on to God and they say, you know what, I want to be like that. I want to get to that place where I can hold on to God. And I want you to realize something this morning. While we are living in a sin-cursed world and all the pleasures and all the sorrows and all the woes, everything that we go through is temporal, I want to remind you that you're on a journey. And your journey may have taken you through a dark place, but it's not the end of the story. I've already said that. I'm going to say it again. Let me remind you of another person in the Bible who went through some losses. King David was called a man after God's own heart. But David made a mistake. He had an adulterous affair with a woman named Bathsheba. And then he had a man named Uriah the Hittite, who was Bathsheba's husband, killed. And not only did he have Bathsheba's husband killed, he tried to cover the whole thing up. He went and married Bathsheba, and come to find out, what he hid from men, he couldn't hide from God. What you try to hide from man, you can't hide from God. You might be here this morning and you might have me fooled. I might think everything's all right with you and that you're happy and wonderful, but God sees and God knows. And I'm glad to say that God is merciful and God is gracious, because Psalm 51 tells us of David's repentant heart. He said, wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Hallelujah. And he repented before God, but David still lost that child because of his sins. In another place, David had another son. His name was Absalom. He was the fairest of the land. And Absalom usurped the kingdom from David. He took it by force and subtlety. David had to run for his life. But there came a day in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and 19. When you get a chance, go home and read it. But there came a day when God had determined to give the kingdom back to David. And David begged his troops to deal gently with his son Absalom for his sake. And long story short, Absalom was killed. And David's heart was broken for his son. And you can read in 1833, David's heart was moved greatly and he cried out for his son. The son who had killed another one of his sons. The son who had usurped the kingdom. The son who had caused so much pain. David cried out for him. He wished that his son would have lived. David wanted to quit, but he had some godly advice. And the godly advice was, you got to be the king. You got to keep going. And I want to tell you, in the dark days of your grief, when you want to give up, when you want to quit, when you want to throw in the towel, remember, you're still a mom. You're still a dad. You're still a grandparent. You're still a brother. You're still a sister. You're still an employee. And you got to keep moving, because God isn't done with you yet. And you might sit down there and say today, preacher, it's hard to keep moving. I can only imagine. I can only imagine what it's like to lose a loved one. I can only imagine what it's like to lose something that you had a strong emotional tie to. Maybe you worked a job for 40 years and all of a sudden the job was gone. You go through sorrow over something like that. Maybe you are in a broken relationship right now and you can't talk to that loved one you used to talk to. You're going through sorrow. There are different types for different people. But I want to encourage you.